وقال الطائفة من أهل الكتاب آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار واكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون.
A party of the people of the book said, Believe in the morning what has been revealed to those who believe, and then denied in the evening that they may thus retract from their faith. And then denied in the evening that they may thus retract from their faith. This was one of the devices adopted by the leaders and rabbis of the Jews who lived on the outskirts of Medina in order to damage the mission of Islam. To demoralize the Muslims and create misgivings about the Prophet, peace be upon him, they sent their agents to embrace Islam publicly, then to renounce it, and subsequently to go about telling people they had done so because of the faults they had found in Islam, the Muslims, and their Prophet.
وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا لِمَنْ تَبِعَ دِينَكُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ الْهُدَى هُدَى اللَّهِ قُلْ إِنَّ الْهُدَى هُدَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُؤْتَى أَحَدٌ مِثْلَ مَا أُوْتِيتُمْ أَوْ يُحَاجُّوكُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
They also say among themselves, Do not follow anyone except him who follows your faith. Say, Surely true guidance is Allah's. It is His favor that anyone should be given the like of what you have been given in the past, and that others should have been given firm evidence to proffer against you before your Lord. Say, Surely bounty is in the hand of Allah. He gives it to whom He wills. Allah is all-embracing, all-knowing. Allah is all-embracing. The word wasi, which is used here, occurs in the Quran in three contexts. The first context is the narrow-mindedness and mean outlook of certain people, in contrast to which God is not narrow. The second context is the denunciation of miserliness, meanness, and niggardliness, in contrast to which God is generous and munificent. The third context is the ascription of finite, limited concepts to God as a result of their limited imagination, whereas the truth is that God is infinite, all-knowing. That is, God knows who deserves to be honored and exalted.
يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ.
He singles out for His mercy whomever He wills. Allah is possessed of abounding bounty.
وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون.
And among the people of the book, there are some who would restore you even if you were to entrust a treasure of gold. And of them there are some whom were you to entrust with one gold piece will not restore it unless you stand over them. That is because they say, We will not be taken to task for whatever we may do to non-Jews, Ummis. Thus they falsely fix a lie upon Allah and do so wittingly. And among the people of the book, there are some who would restore you even if you were to entrust a treasure of gold. And of them there are some whom were you to entrust with one gold piece will not restore it unless you stand over them. That is because they say, We will not be taken to task for whatever we may do to non-Jews, Ummis. This was not merely the misconception of the ignorant mass of Jews. Their religious teaching was the same, and the legal doctrines of their accepted religious authorities and jurists reflected this idea. With regard to injunctions on loans and interest, the Bible makes a clear distinction between an Israelite and a non-Israelite. Deuteronomy 15:1-3, 23:20. It is stated in the Talmud that if the bullock of an Israelite injures the bullock of a non-Israelite, the former is not liable to any penalty, but not vice versa. Similarly, it is laid down that if anyone finds an unclaimed article, he should inquire amongst the people who live nearby. If they are Israelites, he should announce his find. If not, he may keep it without saying anything further. Rabbi Samuel Ishmael says that if a dispute between a Jew and a Gentile is brought before a judge, he should base his verdict on Jewish law if it is favorable. If the law of the Gentiles goes in favor of the Jew, he should justify his judgment by saying that the Gentile has no valid ground for complaint since judgment was given according to his own law. Even if both laws are unfavorable towards the Jew, the judge should still find some pretext for deciding in his favor. Rabbi Samuel says that benefit should be derived from every mistake the non-Israelite may make.
بَلَى مَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ وَاتَّقَى فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ.
But Allah loves only those who fulfill their covenant and fear Allah. Truly, Allah loves the God-fearing.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
There shall be no share in the life to come for those who sell away the covenant of Allah and their oaths for a trivial gain. On the day of resurrection, Allah will neither address them, look at them, nor will He purify them. A painful chastisement lies ahead of them. On the day of resurrection, Allah will neither address them, look at them, nor will He purify them. The reason is that despite their worst crimes, they still thought that on the day of judgment, they alone would be honored with God's favor, and that towards them alone He would turn His gracious attention. They also entertained the belief that if they had been stained by any trace of sin, it would be washed away by the grace of their pious elders. Such people are warned here that the treatment meted out to them in the next life will be altogether contrary to their expectations.
وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ.
And there is a party among them who twist their tongues while reciting the book to make you think that it is part of the book when in fact it is not. They say it is from Allah when in fact it was not from Allah. They falsely fix a lie upon Allah and do so wittingly. To make you think that it is part of the book when in fact it is not. This could mean that they either distort the meaning of the scriptures or twist the words of the text in order to misinterpret it. Its real meaning, however, seems to be that when during their reading of the scriptures, they encounter any word or sentence which goes against their interests and the beliefs and notions which they cherish, they distort the meaning of it by deliberately twisting their tongues. Instances of such tongue-twisting are not altogether wanting among those who, despite their belief in the Quran, share some of these people's characteristics. For instance, some people who stress the superhuman character of the Prophet, peace be upon him, misread the following verse. إِنَّمَا أَنَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ Quran 18:110. I am nothing but a human being like you, replacing إِنَّمَا by إِنَّمَا أَنَّا and translate it, O Prophet, say to them, I am not a human being like you.
ما كان لبشر أن يؤتيه الله الكتاب والحكم والنبوة ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون.
It does not befit a man that Allah should grant him his book and sound judgment and prophethood, and thereafter he should say to men, "Become servants to me apart from Allah." He would rather say, "Become dedicated men of Allah in accord with the dictates of the book you have been teaching and studying." He would rather say, "Become dedicated men of Allah." The term Rabbani is used here to denote Jewish religious scholars and functionaries who were supposed to provide true religious guidance to establish their rites of worship, implement religious laws, and so on. The same word occurs in Surah 5, 44 and 63. In the Christian tradition, the word divine is used as an equivalent to the word Rabbani.
وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ أَن تَتَّخِذُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ أَرْبَابًا أَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ.
He will never enjoin you to take the angels or prophets from your lords. Will he enjoin upon you unbelief when you have submitted yourselves to Allah? Will he enjoin upon you unbelief when you have submitted yourselves to Allah? This refutation is directed at all the false concepts which are attributed to the messengers of God by various nations, and then made an integral part of the religious scriptures. These concepts were false in that they elevated either the prophets or the angels to the level of deities, and turned them into objects of worship. These verses expound the general principle that any doctrine which teaches the worship of anyone and anything other than God and exalts any creature to the position of God can never be the teaching of a prophet. It follows that if such teachings are contained in any religious scripture, they are falsely ascribed. Any such doctrine found in scripture must be considered an innovative distortion of the true teachings of the prophets at the hands of people who had lost their way and fallen into error.